It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Trip coming up against the Sharks, Studnicka. Here comes the extra attacker for Colorado. Johansson cross-ice. Here comes the play in front. There was Girard, but the puck just out of his reach. Couldn't pull the trigger. He dishes it off. MacKinnon on. Sends it over. Johnson down low. They score. That's Valeri Nichushkin down low. Left-handed shot on the right wing side. And during the delayed penalty against Studnicka, the Avalanche come in craftily, and no chance for Kaapo Kähkönen there. 2-1 Colorado with 3:29 to play.
Well, you saw it tonight. I mean, listen, we lose our best defenseman 5 minutes into the game, playing a team that's, you know, has a great chance to win a Stanley Cup. We didn't have it today puck-wise. We've been playing a lot better from a puck perspective than we did tonight. But one of the things I liked, we really defended hard, and we defended a lot, unfortunately. But you know, I really liked our structure. I thought we were aggressive. I thought we had a physicality to us. Hold them to 33 shots, and then I think they only had 10 scoring chances after two periods. You know, penalties hurt us in the third. I thought the momentum changed a lot in the third. Our D was starting to get tired, 5D. The altitude always kicks in a little bit here, and, you know, with our D core as young as we are and to hang in there against this team, I couldn't be prouder of our team. Our goalie was outstanding. You know, it's 1-1 with 5 minutes to go, and they get a 5-on-5 goal. They get a 6-on-5 goal. They get a power play goal on empty netter.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I hope you are all having a lovely New Year's Day, and happy New Year to everyone. I hope you had a safe New Year's Eve and that you are not waking up feeling too badly this morning by way of too much imbibing or the result from the Sharks game in and of itself. And I did think that the 2023 final game was an appropriate way for the Sharks to end the year. A, we can just say the obvious, and that's because they lost. The Sharks have not done a whole lot of winning in the calendar year of 2023. And, you know, as I have said many, many times over the last year, I believe we will look at 2023 as a very, very important transitional moment in the history of the San Jose Sharks in terms of trades they made, in terms of acquisitions, in terms of draft picks. But I don't think it's going to be one of those years that we look back with profound glory and wonder and awe, because it's not been a whole lot of fun in the regard of what has happened on the ice. I think that's just something we can obviously say and be pretty honest about. They don't need me to apologize for them. I'm not trying to make excuses. The Sharks just aren't there right now. They are nowhere near as good as a team like the Avs. But the other thing that made last night relatively appropriate is that the Sharks continue to be a very, very hard-working team. And they have played the Avs three times this year. And in two of those games, the Avs have had to work exceptionally hard to get past the Sharks. Two of them have been in Denver, I'll point out, this year. So you've got three games against a Stanley Cup contender. You've walked away with 1 point out of those three. That's not great, but you took them the distance in that game one back on October 14th. The second game, you know, just recently, they got a major awarded to them early in the game, and the Sharks had a hard time coming back from that. They also spent 9 minutes in the box in that first period. And then last night, as you heard David Quinn mention there on the way in, it's a 1-1 game with 5 minutes left to go. They get a delayed penalty, and they score the goal to make it a 2-1 game. They add the empty netter. The Sharks' effort was appropriate throughout the course of the game, just like I feel throughout the entirety of 2023. You could count on the Sharks' effort. You might not be able to count on the execution. You might not be able to count on a win. You might not be able to count on much else. but the effort has been there for San Jose. They are a hardworking team. And it's something that both myself and Brody Brazil have talked about with the hockey guy of the YouTube's fame. But he talked about they are a hardworking team and they will catch teams off guard if they are not ready to go the distance with them. It's also something I talked with Connor McGahey yesterday, the play-by-play voice of the Avs. And he talked about the fact that, yeah, this Sharks team, they tell you that you have to go out there and work hard to get a win. And listen, I've watched a lot of, you know, lower tier hockey teams over the last couple of years and seen teams in rebuilds and seen teams in a, you know, just a bad space overall. And the Sharks have not been like that. There's not a sense of apathy that is set in. There is not a sense of, you know, just not being able to get the win. The effort has always been there. It's one of the most frustrating parts about being a Sharks fan right now is I feel the effort is there night in, night out. The results aren't there. And that's a result of the talent deficit across the ice. And I'm not saying that to be inflammatory. I'm not saying that to say that the Sharks are not good enough or anything like that. It's just where they are right now. They do not have the horses across the board like some of these other teams do. My hope in the new year is that Logan Couture is able to come back and that he is able to get some, you know, really, really high-level hockey back into his game after being out with injury for so long. I think that will just make things that much easier for the Sharks. Especially with the amount of injuries they've had. And that was another reason last night's game was appropriate, because Mario Ferraro went down with an injury a few minutes into the game, was not able to return. That was not a good sign in the slightest. And when you lose a player like that, there is, of course, the cascading effect, the ramifications down the lines. And we saw that. We saw that play out across the board with the Sharks last night. They just had tired defensemen, like you heard David Quinn allude to, because they were rolling one short. It takes a toll throughout the majority of the game. And then eventually a team like Colorado is going to be able to find that breakthrough. I wish it was not true, but that's a reality of what happened in the game last night. We'll see how long Mario is going to be out, if he has to miss any time, hopefully within the next couple of days. I'm assuming the guys got back into San Jose last night before or right around midnight. And they'll know a lot more today when they see how Ferraro is doing, or tomorrow whenever they're meeting up again. But hopefully he won't be out too long, because he is an important part of this team. But yeah, I think the way that you saw Henry Thrun play last night, you know, he keeps on making big plays, keeps on making great hustle, great effort plays. You saw the way that, you know, Ty Emberson played last night, really liked his game, given physicality to Nate McKinnon, even if he got it right back. Ochuk, you know, you go down the line, you look at these young quality defensemen, the way they're playing, the type of effort they're putting in. It's the type of thing that I like to see, even in the midst of very, very frustrating performances. So that was another way last night was fitting. Another way the last night was fitting was that Kaapo Kähkönen was, you know, simply phenomenal. He made huge stops. He made huge saves. He's been great all year long. I know that early on, you know, he had some performances that were not stellar. And I'm sure that even though he was not the fault in that game in Seattle, the early one that he gave up 5-hole was probably one that he'd want back. But after that, you know, Kaapo's been really, really good. And last night, he was really, really good once again throughout the entirety of the game, making big stops, making big plays. And that's where the Sharks goalies have been all year long, really. And it was another instance of the Sharks getting a great performance from their goalie, but simply not getting enough on the other side from their offense. So, you know, these are all consistent themes we've seen over the course of 2023. And the Sharks, I believe, have missed the most games out of any team due to injury. And watching injury pop its head up last night again with Ferraro, and you're watching, you know, your goalie have a really good game, and you're watching all these different aspects. It was just kind of an encapsulation of the year in one game. And I thought it was startling to see all these things play out in real time in front of you. It's like, yep, there's the injuries playing a factor. Yes, there's the offense not being good enough. Yes, there's the effort that you're expecting. Yes, there's your goalie standing on his head. It's like, this is what we've seen time and time again in 2023. I wish there was a different story to tell, and I wish there was a different aspect of what was going to go down from now till the end of the season, because I do not think there is a magic comeback in these Sharks as much as I would love it. And it probably doesn't behoove them to have a magic comeback. They need the draft picks. They need the horses. They need to develop the team. If you look at a team like the Avs, you're like, okay, they drafted McKinnon. They drafted Makar. You look at these guys and the way they've had an impact on that franchise. That's what the Sharks need to be bringing in. And they very well may have. If you look at, you know, the guys that have come in recent memory, if you look at Will Smith and Quentin Musty and, you know, William Eklund, Thomas Bordalo, you're looking at, you know, Shakir Makhmadoulin, you look at the young players like you know, a Thrun and an Ochocinc and a Makhmadulin, and, you know, you go down the list. These are all players that you think are part of the future. Same thing with a guy like Fabian Zetterlund. You know, Fabian Zetterlund keeps on playing very high-quality hockey. You can't argue with his effort out there on the ice. Tomáš Hertl, I think, has been getting better and better as the year keeps going on, and he, when the Sharks start moving into that next transitional phase, I would love for him to still be a part of it because I feel like he has been such a fun and talented player to watch over the years for San Jose, and just the way that he has played and the way that he has comported himself, he's somebody that I want for the future. Same thing with Logan Couture. I hope that he has a chance, you know, to get back and be healthy and be a part of the Sharks' future as much as he's been a part of the Sharks' past. That's where this franchise is headed. I've said this time and time again. It's not about where the Sharks are right now. It's not where the Sharks have been in the past. It's where they're headed as a franchise right now. And I love the things that Mike Grier has done. I love the draft picks that he's acquired. I love the prospects he's brought in. I love what he's been able to do in terms of, you know, moving out guys like Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson and bringing in quality players, or even sometimes taking on some bad contracts, or at least that's how they've been perceived. But, you know, one of the things that they talk about with those quote-unquote bad contracts is you look at the way that some of these guys have played for the Sharks, and you're like, you know what? They've been working hard. They've been playing well. They've been doing, you know, the things that we remember them being capable of at earlier points of their career. You look no farther than Kyle Granlund. You know, he looks exactly like the mid-60s to high-60s players he's been earlier in his career, if not more, and you see the effort and you see the things that's being asked of him. That's all I can really ask for at this point, even though the obvious is, yes, you would like to ask for more wins. You would like to ask for more talent. You would like to ask for more out of everyone, but I also try to be realistic. Some of these guys are going to get traded away. Some of these guys are going to find themselves a part of the Sharks' future. Some of these guys are not going to be part of this future. And that's where the team is right now as we head towards the NHL trade deadline, towards the midseason mark, whatever different marks you want to look at. The Sharks are on the bottom of the NHL standings, and that's not going to change in the near future. I mean, they might rise up to second. You know, that's very possible between now and the end of the year. It's not like Chicago is killing it. You know, they're only just a little bit ahead of where the Sharks are, but you need to go through the good to get to the bad. I saw a post on Reddit the other day where somebody was talking about, I don't know what happened to the Sharks. And, you know, it's like, no, listen, guys, we all know exactly what happened to the Sharks. It's what happens to every team that's good for a very, very long time. In that time where you are playing for the here and now, you trade away draft picks, you look at things differently because you're trying to maximize the window. And if you maximize the window, that means you're signing longer contracts. That means you are trading away future draft picks. That means you are doing everything for the here and now and not for the future. And I don't blame Doug Wilson for that in the slightest. I understand exactly what and why he was doing and how I think it's something that we would all do in exactly the same way. We would try and situate the maximum possibility for success in the here and now. All those moves didn't work out, okay? Like, the, you would point to the Evander Kane one as one that didn't work out. And I know that a lot of people like to be out there and say, oh, they kept Erik Karlsson and didn't keep Joe Like, no, that was not the move. The replacement for Pavelski as he was getting older was seen as Evander Kane, and I think that it was not a mistake in acquiring Evander Kane based on his talent. The mistake, I believe, was thinking that the Sharks' culture was great enough that it could maybe change certain dynamics, certain aspects of Evander Kane and who he was. And it didn't work out that way, but, you know, he's found a different place in his life right now and where he's been in Edmonton. And, you know, I'm happy for him in that regard, but I don't blame Doug Wilson for making that move. I don't blame Doug Wilson for trying to bring in the next generation, the next level talent to the San Jose Sharks. Nor do I blame him for trading for Brent Burns or Erik Karlsson or, you know, Gus Nyquist, or you look at any of the number of moves that he made over the years to make the Sharks better and give them a chance and more talent as they went on a run in the postseason. That's what it takes. You have to make those moves, and I'm sure we will watch Mike Grier make similar moves. Now, you would have loved for some of these draft picks to have panned out, and I know that's a popular one for people to point out, but some of them did. Timo Meier is one of those ones that was right there in the middle of the Sharks or towards the end, and he, you know, turned into a premier power forward in the NHL. He's not had the same level of success in New Jersey. You know, that there's many reasons for why that could be, but he was one that the Sharks drafted and developed. Mario Ferraro, another one that's come in, and they're not all going to work out. And the league changes, The players change, the scouts change. That's just how it goes. But the Sharks got here by an ordained effort to maximize their window. And just like they continue to stay here by an ordained effort to build their future. So right now, it's not a whole lot of fun. You're watching a whole lot of losing. You're not seeing very many wins. Right now, the San Jose Sharks, you know, like I said, they're at the bottom of the NHL for a reason. They've only had 9 wins this year. They're riding an 8-game losing streak. They had a 11-game losing streak earlier in the season, or winless, I should say, 0-10-1, and now they're on another one. That means that 19 of their losses at 2 different points of this season have been consecutive. That's not a whole lot of fun, and I think that we all acknowledge that, but as we transition into 2024, as we look ahead to the future, we have to acknowledge that it is about the future more than it is the present. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. That's coming up next on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Granted a near side, hand off to Makar. Makar backhands around the boards. There's Taves, right side, back to the point. Rantanen walks up to the left circle, shoots one. Club save made there by Kakkonen. Second good save that Kakkonen's made against Mikko Rantanen, who has the only goal of this game. We're down to a minute 34 remaining in the first period. Shots now 8-4 in favor of Colorado, and it's a 1-0 Avalanche lead. McKinnon with the puck, twists, throws it back. Makar the shot, great save by Kakkonen. He had Nichushkin in front. It's now the final seconds ticking off on the penalty. Oh. A shot tipped on goal. What a great save there by Kakkonen off of Nichushkin, and the Sharks clear. On the left now, he feeds it over to Wood. Wood sends it back behind the San Jose net, and Girard is in deep. Throws it around the far ports. Penalty almost over. Shot by Taves toward the net. Knocked down in front. Backhand chance. Save. Oh. What a great stop by Kakkonen on the rebound off of Johansson.
He was outstanding. He's been outstanding all year, you know, and I couldn't be happier for him. He's elevated his game on and off the ice. Just, he's been outstanding.
Yeah, it's tough losing, obviously. It's not easy. But like I said, like tonight, we all battled. And, you know, it is what it is. We just got to find ways, and that's what good teams do. And but I still think, overall, if you don't look at the score, I think it was a step forward in a lot of areas. Maybe it wasn't clean all the time. The whole game wasn't, like, clean, but... You know, I think we did some small things out there that, you know, we were standing up for each other. Those things are huge down the stretch. So we just got to keep doing that.
All right. Welcome back to Morning Tide here on New Year's Day. Kaapo Kakkonen saves, bringing us back in. David Quinn and then Kaapo himself talking about all that we saw out of that game. And Kaapo was just phenomenal last night. That's really... the only way that I can see it. I know that there's probably some people out there thinking, oh, he should have stopped this, that, or the other thing, but I can't argue with his performance. He had 30 saves on 32 shots against. That is a 938 save percentage. In fact, if we look at his recent performances, he gave up 2 against Colorado. He gave up 1 against Edmonton after he came in relief of Magnus Crona. That's a 938 save percentage last night. And then 2 games ago, a 944 save percentage. He gave up 5 against L.A., but I'm not putting that on him. He had 3 against L.A. on the 19th, and he had a 921 save percentage. Against Arizona, he gave up 1 goal and had a 958. On Vegas, he was on the hook for 4, 852. Detroit, he came in that game after the Sharks were down early and only gave up 1. I look at Kaapo overall and look at the performances he's had. You know, for the most part, he's been over 900 on his save percentages, over 910, it looks like, for almost all these games, except for some of the ones that got away from the Sharks. The last bad performance he had, really, was against Seattle back on the 22nd of November. And even before that, the game against St. Louis on the 16th, he had a 978 save percentage, made 44 stops. I mean, you just can't argue with some of the performances he's had. You can definitely argue with the defense in front of him on a lot of those performances, just like what the Sharks did to Krona a few nights ago. But again, this is something we're probably going to pay attention to as the Sharks get closer and closer to the trade deadline. And that is what is going to happen with a Kaapo or a McKenzie. Both of those guys are going to be lusted after by several teams that are in contention. And net mining in the NHL, and we'll probably talk to Sheng Peng about this in the next coming week or so, because I haven't talked to him for about a month. But, you know, there is the very real sense that it is, you know, either there or it isn't for a lot of these guys. And when they're in a hot part of their career, you can really, really ride it. And the NHL is not in that period that they were 15 years ago, where it seemed like they were, you know, just Hall of Fame goalies everywhere. Like right now, there's Vasilevsky, there's Shesterkin, there's Bobrovsky. And I would say those are the guys who have the most consistency up to this point of their career. Aiden Hill is currently riding a very hot streak for him, as he has 193 goals against average and a 933 save percentage up to this point of the year. You know, I also look at a guy like Cam Talbot. You know, suddenly he's come on very, very strong the way that he's been playing. So, you know, there's always things that change, right? There's always things that change from one year to the next. And, you know, you look at the way it's gone for Thatcher Demko. He's been playing very, very well, you know, and that wasn't the case previously at different points of his career. And, you know, if you're an Edmonton, if you are a Toronto, if you are in a different situation where you have not seen the consistency with your net minding, you never know which team is going to pop in and be part of that conversation or feels they need more of that tandem down the stretch to keep their ace hot. And while the Sharks are not specifically in that window of contention, this would be an area of strength that they could potentially trade from. So I don't, you know, I don't love the position that Mike Greer will be in terms of having to let one of these guys go, but I do love the position he could potentially get into with what he can get back if he does have to trade one of these guys. And, you know, initially it was thought it was, oh, Mackenzie Blackwood, because he stood on his head earlier in the year. But, you know, as we get deeper into the year, we do see that, you know, Kaapo is making a strong case for himself as well. And who knows, maybe part of one of those acquisitions could be a draft pick or even a player that ends up being a future netminder for the San Jose Sharks. Just like we watched in last night's game, some of the future of the Sharks defensemen out there on the ice making some big plays, big hits. Head coach David Quinn weighing in.
I mean, you're talking about two guys before the season started that had about 8 games of NHL experience, and to throw them out there against that team and play the minutes they did against the players they did and to hold up the way they did, really bodes well for us moving forward. I thought Henry was outstanding. He was really good against Edmonton. He's just playing a real smart game. He's a great kid. He's part of our future. And, you know, we claimed Ty earlier in the year, and he had never played an NHL game and kind of started feeling his way early in his first few games. But when he got hurt, he might have been one of our top two defensemen. And to come in and play the way he did after being out as long as he did is very impressive.
Yeah, whether you think about just big moments during the game in which Ty Amberson was coming in and making hits on Nathan MacKinnon, or some of the plays that Henry Thun made on, you know, that 5-on-3 kill or the 5-on-4 situations, or just throughout the game, these are the moments where players, even in the midst of bad times, can be molded into better and better players because they understand what the game is asking of them. They understand what is their job specifically. They may be tasked with more at a younger point of their career, which allows them to be that much better. You know, sometimes it's that steep grade that you have to climb that makes you better and stronger and more durable. And hopefully that's what's happening to two guys like an Emberson, like a Thrun, MB and Hank, as they like to go by. But, you know, it's good to get Emberson back and healthy out there on the ice. Stepped up, played a big game. And then Henry Thrun, since he's gotten this opportunity to come back to the Sharks this year, he's taken it and he's run with it. He just keeps on playing better and better and better. So I'm very excited for him and hope that he can continue to be a big part of the Sharks' future and present.
Yeah, it is frustrating. I mean, obviously, you know, you play the game to win, and we can talk about great efforts, and I think tonight was a good effort, but at the end of the day, it's about putting wins in the win column. So yeah, it is frustrating for us.
That's Henry Thrun weighing in on last night's game. And I think the frustration is mounting for a lot of these guys with the win streak now sitting at 8 and something they want to get off their backs and leave in 2023 as they do head into 2024 now. Let's just take a quick look at that schedule. What's coming up next? The Sharks finally with some time at home. They start off with 3 straight starting this week. tomorrow night. They host Detroit. Then on Thursday, they are going to be playing host to Winnipeg. And then on Saturday to Toronto before they go back out onto the road for five. They are going to be at Toronto, at Montreal, at Ottawa, at Buffalo, and at Chicago before they're back home on Saturday the 20th playing host to the Ducks. But just getting three at home and the road. They only had four at home for the entirety of December. They've got three at home back to back to back to start off the month of January. That'll give them time to practice. That'll give them time to just exhale a little bit after the wildness that was the NHL schedule in the month of December for the San Jose Sharks. And so that's a big plus for them and a big opportunity for them to kick this losing streak away, put it behind them, and move forward. More from Thrun on Ferraro going down and how his role changed.
Yeah, I felt good. You know, as you had mentioned, played a little bit more than I was used to, but you know, that's we just got a next man up mentality, so I was happy with it. Thought we put together a good 55 minutes, but at the end of the game, we slipped a little bit there. So that's the NHL, and you got to be good all 60 minutes. So that's kind of what happened tonight.
Andy was asked about how the team compensates if Ferraro does have to miss some time.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say he's probably the heartbeat of the team. So it's really tough to make up. Make up for what he brings to the table, both on and off the ice. So, you know, we got a lot of good defensemen on our roster, and for us, it's just going to be a sort of next man up mentality.
When you hear comments like that from Thrun, you understand exactly why Ferraro was given an A so early in his career. I've got to watch him up close for the entirety of his career with the San Jose Sharks. I see the way he is in the dressing room. I see the way he is before and after games. He's an infectious personality. He plays hard. Guys want to match what he's doing out there on the ice. And I think also they now want to try and make up for what is lacking when he's off the ice. And that is a testament of leadership. And what everybody says, okay, when he's not out there, we've got to step up. You know, that's Mario Ferraro in a nutshell. I think he has exhibited that trait so many times up to this point of his career that other guys understand that if he goes down, they have to step up equally as well. Going back to head coach David Quinn talking about the entirety of last night's game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there are going to be ways you got to, you know, find ways to stay in games, and you're not going to have it every night, but to compete and battle the way we did and, you know, to just play good, solid structural defense. Obviously, you know, they had a couple chances off the rush where we got beat one-on-one. It wasn't like we were out of position, but, you know, for the most part, we really did a good job of protecting the middle of the rink and making it hard on them.
And another aspect of the upcoming home schedule that we talk about is the fact that the Sharks will be able to get more practice in, something that was lacking in the month of December. Here's head coach David Quinn on that.
We just had, listen, yesterday was our third practice of the month. So, you know, we just had to get back to some basics defensively. We ironed out some of our coverage up top. Just, you know, going over some real foundational pieces to our D-zone coverage, and it showed tonight.
That's something that Jamie Baker used to always hammer home with me. He talked about how important practice was, talked about how it was maybe one of the most overlooked aspects of any team in the NHL, particularly a young team, particularly a team that's in transition. And it's not surprising to me that when the Sharks did get a bit of an opportunity to try and work on some things, that they showed much improved defensive structure against a team like Colorado, which is as good as any team in the NHL. I do not say this lightly, but the Colorado Avalanche look like a team that could be ready to win another Stanley Cup. Now, that's not going to be easy in any way, shape, or form, but when I watch them play, when I look at their roster, whether or not it's against the Sharks or just any other game, it's like, damn, this team is good. They are really, really good. And the Sharks played well defensively. They responded well with practice. Their defensive structure was better. You know, if we look at the shots that Colorado got off, they're usually not being held to the low 30s. They're usually doing much, much more. So for the Sharks to come up with a performance like that, even if they were eventually down a man on D, even if they are, you know, on the road once again to finish off the month of December and 2023 at elevation, there was a lot going against the Sharks in that game, but they showed up with a quality performance. No surprise that it happened after a bit of practice. All right, we are out of time. I will see you on Tuesday for the buildup as we get ready for the Red Wings. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Here's Granlund sliding it over, hurdle the shot, score! Perfect! perfect setup. First the faceoff win, and then Hurdle in his 700th NHL game bangs it in on the power play to tie this game 1-1 with 3:07 left in the second.